And you know, I have payback. I have some serious payback for Sister Holly Bowen. And this is why. We just really wanted to come this morning after a wonderful celebration of probably some people that you know celebrated their 50th, their golden anniversary last night. And to be honest, you know, we just wanted to come. And I said to Holly, and this was from last year actually, I said, I would love to come to Lauder Hill just to hear your choir. And I think she has at least 7-8 soloists. I said, man, that should be wonderful. We are sitting together last night, and I said, okay, I really am looking forward to the choir. And in a very cryptic, very concise way, he says, Junior, you are the choir.
You are the choir, and it's the best choir.
And you know, I just plan to do my little bit and sit down and then really listen to, you know, all the talent that I know you have here. Because she has bombarded me with CDs of you guys performing, you know, doing wonderful things. But anyway, it's God's will that he placed me in this position. But I will get back to her. And as Brother Seymour was praying, the thought came to me that, you know, we take so many things for granted. Mm. And one of the things you take for granted is God's grace. And another factor that we really don't consider too often is that he's always there.
Yes.
All the time.
Not some of the time, you know, not Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, not on Sundays alone, always there.
Yeah.
So, when I spoke with Holly, she said, please, let's do together. God is there. Because, you know, she's a fabulous musician, so when she says do something, you got to do it.
Yes, sir.
So, on behalf of Holly and myself, God is there.
I would like everyone to look at the front part of your bulletin. Everybody have it? Okay, let us read, "The Lord is my shepherd," going down. Together, Sister June every week print us the Holy Book program, and we do thank God for her every week. Let us read, "The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want."
And then you go down now to that little book there. "Lord, I yield." Everybody read our little part there. "Lord, I yield Baptist Church."
A church where we love God and love one another.
I didn't hear everybody reading that part.
A church where we love God.
No, Lord, I yield Baptist Church.
A church where we love God. Love one another.
That little statement was initiated by our pastor. A church where we love God first, and we are learning to love one another. And how easy it is getting used to the family of God. Now every morning, Sister June writes here, take time to pray 6 a.m. every day. So we are going to pray together this morning. 1 minute you hold the hand of the person beside you. You want to say 1 minute prayer, but we are here this morning to pray for our pastor. We are here to pray for his family, we included. So 1 minute you pray for yourself, and I will conclude. Please hold the hand of the person beside you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day coming into your house. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Lincoln Boyne, whom you have chosen for this hour. Father, we pray that you will bless his family, Lawrence and his little family, Steve, Russell, and Lord Eddie Baptist Church family, Lord. Lord, be with him and keep him well. Guide him and lead him along the way to preach your word in season and in season. Father, we lift him up to you this morning. And Lord, prepare our hearts for your word through him. Again, Lord, we thank you for him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today?
Amen.
Brother Junior, you certainly blessed my heart. I thought that by now your voice would be getting a little shaky. Not a chance. Not a chance. Brought me right back to the good old days. Thank you so much for blessing us with that beautiful song. I don't remember if I welcomed my cousin Ken. Did I? Ah, boy. I'm in big trouble. So not only is my good friend Harold here and my brother Claude and his wife, but my cousin Ken from Canada, Ontario. And his charming wife, Sharon, is also here. What a joy it is today to have them all with us. Bow your heads with me, please, in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. And now, as we come to look into your word, we pray that you'd give us good understanding. Use even me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Fullness of joy. 1 John is an epistle written by John, addressed to Christian believers. And John directed this letter to these Christians because they had been dangerously exposed to false teachers, which had to be corrected expeditiously. In chapter 1, verse 1, John declared his subject to be that which was from the beginning, the word of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. And the overall goal of chapter 1 is that the believer should increase in joy and fellowship. 1 John writes, so that the believer might be assured through his belief in Jesus Christ that he has eternal life. In verse 2 he says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. We know that Adam and Eve sinned, and because of their sin, we were born in sin, and as a result, we were separated from God, who is altogether holy and who cannot abide in sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We also know from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And so we owed a debt that we could not pay. Verse 23 of Romans 6 continues, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ went to the cross bearing all our sins, so that all our sins be forgiven, and so that we can inherit everlasting life. And this is a free gift. It cannot be earned. It cannot be good. We cannot be good enough to earn it. And you cannot be rich enough to buy it. You cannot steal it. The only way you get it is by repenting of your sins and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so secondly, in verse 3, John writes, so that the believer might have fellowship. Verse 3 says that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we have sincere fellowship with God the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ, we will also have good fellowship with fellow believers. Now, what does it mean to fellowship with fellow believers? It is true that the definition of the word includes companionship, a friendly relationship between parties or members of a common group. But fellowship is more than that. I like the definition, which says that fellowship is leaving your own ship and getting into the other fellow's ship. This speaks of deeper caring and a greater interest in the other person's well-being. Putting yourself in the other person's shoes is really what it means. Showing love not only by word, but indeed. And so as fellow believers, we must truly care for each other. Shortly before Jesus went to the cross to be crucified, he said to his disciples, recorded in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another.
Amen.
This is not a request that the Lord is making, but a command. We must love one another. And if you look at 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." You see, love is the very nature of God. And to do anything without love is to exclude God. At Lauderhill Baptist Church, as Sister Wiggy mentioned, we love one another.
Amen.
We're all just one family of believers. So if you don't feel loved, just show some more love. You'll get it right back. In Psalm 133, verse 1, David reminds us of how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He says it's like the precious ointment upon the head. And so, it is a true blessing when believers unite in love. Some people do not experience unity, even in their family life. You know, there was a man who saw very little of his wife through their marriage and asked to be buried at the mall when he dies. Says maybe then she'll come and see him often. Hebrews 10:25 encourages us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so thirdly, John writes, so that the believer might have joy. In verse 4, John writes, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He knew that if fellow believers loved God and one another, cared for each other, and showed genuine interest in others' needs and feelings, then they would experience a joy, the magnitude and intensity of which they had never before encountered. This joy is expressed by John in his first epistle, verse 4. "And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." John knew quite well that joy, which is the second fruit of the Spirit, mentioned in Galatians 5:22. That joy is a product of love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit. You see, you cannot have joy if you don't have love. He knew that if fellow believers love God and love one another, then they will experience an unsurpassable fullness of joy. And this joy is expressed by John himself in 3 John chapter 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And in Psalm 16:11, David said of the Lord, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy is not happiness. For you see, happiness is a temporary state. But joy is forever. You may be going through a hard time. You may have no money and you don't know where your next meal is coming from. But you have joy. Because you know the Lord will make a way for you. You know He has never failed you, and He won't fail you now. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you may still have joy internally, even when externally everything seems to be falling apart. You see, joy is spiritual. And you can tell the spiritual climate of a believer by the joy they exude. If you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, it has to show on your face and in your actions and attitude. We cannot sing joy to the world, the Lord has come, without giving serious thought to the fact that Jesus came to bring joy to the world, and without him, there is no joy. You can't experience joy if the Holy Spirit does not dwell within you. As one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And joy will come to those who walk in the Spirit. Fourthly, John writes that believers might not continue in sin. Verses 5 to 7 of 1 John 1 reads as follows. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, light is a very hard thing to hide. The great thing about light is that the darker its surroundings, the brighter it shines. So because Jesus is the light of the world, if we have fellowship with him, we cannot walk in darkness. The blood of Jesus gives us full pardon for our sins. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And that means your sins are forgiven and forgotten and no longer held against you, because you are born again as a new man or woman in Christ.
Amen.
And so you are therefore adopted into the family of God. You are now sons and daughters, princes and princesses. My friend, if God has forgiven you of past sins in your life, No one has the right to keep digging them up and hanging them over your head. What's forgiven ought to be forgotten. So stop worrying about forgiven sins of the past if you have confessed them sincerely and repented before God. You know, worrying about yesterday's shortcomings does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It just takes away today's peace. It's a very dangerous sin to walk in darkness. When you walk in the dark, you can't see where you're going. You're bound to miss a step or two. Tripping over something is inevitable. And when you fall, it hurts. Who knows what lurks in the dark? Many times, we don't know what we will step on in our next step until it bites us, maybe. Did you ever butt the head of your big toe simply because you weren't looking where you were going? I had a nail run right through the sole of my slippers and right through my little toe once when I was only 7 years old, and I still remember it. And trust me, that's a long time ago. My friends, we have to watch every step we take in this world today. We must make sure that our steps are guided by the Lord. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And someone said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
Some years ago I went horseback riding in the Dominican Republic. That was my first time visiting the Dominican Republic. And going through the mountains on horseback in a strange country where the language was not my own left me no choice but to trust my guide. I knew all I had to do was follow him. If I followed him, I knew I would not get lost. If I followed him, I would not stray. If I followed him, I knew he would lead me home safely. And today Jesus says to us, trust me, just trust me. I will be your guide. Follow me and you will not get lost. Follow me and you will not go astray. Follow me and I will lead you safely home. There is no other guide who knows the way but Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what a joy it is to walk daily with Jesus. The songwriter rightly said, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen.
My friends, we are all sinners. Those of us who are saved are sinners saved by grace. Those of us who are not saved are sinners lost in sin. Verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Pretense does us no good. We must be true to God, to our fellow man, and to ourselves. We cannot say we have the truth in us if we don't have Jesus in our hearts. John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so fifthly, John writes so that believers can overcome sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so Jesus stands ready and able to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteous living. But there are three things we must first realize. Firstly, we must first realize that we are sinners who need to be saved. Secondly, we must realize that we cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us. And thirdly, we must realize that salvation is a free gift. You cannot earn it. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then there are three things that we must recognize. We must recognize that God is merciful. We must recognize that God is a holy God who must punish sin. Romans 6:23 again. For the wages of sin is death. And we must recognize that God allowed his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then all that's left for us to do is to repent and receive. To receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You might say to me today, Brother Lincoln, how do I do that? Well, Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the sixth thing John writes, so that believers may know, is that they, being forgiven, should not continue in a life of sin. But when they sin, they have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the propitiation for our sin. He paid the price in full, removing all guilt and reconciling us to our Heavenly Father. For Jesus not only left his throne in heaven, came to earth, born of a virgin, humbled himself, and took on the form of man. And he lived a sinless life, died on the cross to save us from hell. And he also rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And so John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered him with these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that is the great hope of the believer. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. My friend, the human mind cannot comprehend the magnificence of heaven, which is prepared for those who love the Lord Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 2:9 reminds us of that with these words, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So by faith we believe and look forward with great expectancy to the coming again of our Lord Jesus. And 1 Peter 1:8, Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so perhaps you're here today and never received the salvation of which we speak. Perhaps you think there is no hope for you. Well, I'm here to tell you today that yes, there is hope. Jesus loves you. Jesus will forgive you and give you a brand new start. Yes, my friend, you too can have everlasting life. You too can experience the fullness of joy in your life. And you know, my friend, we need joy in our lives today. There is so much pain and anger and sin in this world. We need joy. Let Jesus come into your heart today. Then you can sing with vigor, joy, joy, my heart is full of joy. Joy, joy, my heart is full of joy. My Savior dear is ever near. That's the reason why my heart is full of joy. We need more joy in our homes. We need more joy in our churches. We need more joy in our schools. Listen to this poem by an unknown author. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. He followed her to school each day. 'Twasn't even in the rule. He made the children laugh and play to have a lamb at school. And then the rules all changed one day. Illegal it became to bring the Lamb of God to school or even speak his name. Every day got worse and worse, and days turned into years. Instead of hearing children laugh, we heard gunshots and tears. What must we do to stop the crime that's in our schools today? Let's let the Lamb come back to school and teach our kids to pray. Amen. Today I invite you to give your heart to Jesus. Trust Him. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And He will never guide you down the wrong path. But He will lead you to experience great joy and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Bow your heads with me. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today, reminding us that there is great joy, wonderful joy to be had from a relationship with you. And now, Lord, I lift up anyone within the sound of my voice who has never experienced such joy. Have your own way, O Holy Spirit, in their hearts today. And may such a one surrender their all to you. We give you praise, and all glory be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation. What? Is number 275. I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior. Holy thine. Is He your Lord and Savior? If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you today not to leave here unsaved. We know not what tomorrow holds. This is your opportunity today. You can't say you never knew. In front of all these witnesses, you have the opportunity right now to give your life to the Lord, to let Him be your Lord, your Master. There is everything to be gained, nothing to lose. You'll have everlasting life. You'll have a more abundant life here on earth. All your sins will be washed away, forgiven and forgotten. We're going to sing two more verses. You come now as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me sing.